If you would please open your Bibles to Psalms chapter 84. Psalms chapter number 84. In February, I've been preaching a series of messages on loving your family, strengthening your marriage, your home. Today, I'd like to talk a little bit about loving the house of God. How important is the house of God in your life, in mine? And I'd like to make a few comments about that. Psalms 84 is a wonderful chapter in the Bible. And what I'd like to do is just read it responsively this morning. I'll read the odd verses, you read the even verses. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts! Yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. That word Selah is really a musical term. It's a pause. It means to just take a moment here and think about what you have just read. Anytime you see that word Selah, it means to ponder, to pause and ponder on that verse. Verse 5, blessed is the man whose strength is in thee and whose heart are the ways of them. They go from strength to strength, every one of them, and Zion appeareth before God. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Let us pray. Father, thank you for your word. And thank you for the encouragement it gives to our hearts today. I pray you would bless the preaching now of your word as we think about your house and the importance of loving your house and, Lord, the people that are part of your congregation. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. We could say, blessed are they that have love for the house of God. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Many of us have been or are being given little lumps of clay. And we will put these little lumps of clay in the planter box of our home. These little lumps we call children. This planter box is like a greenhouse. It operates 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. Someone said we are growing our own joys or sorrows. We are growing early graves or heavenly citizens. Oh, the joys that can bring us as God's people, as we think about the children growing up to follow the Lord, what a joy, what a blessing that is, as they bring honor and happiness to their families and friends. But oh, the sorrows that children can also bring. Some have taken their own lives, grieving over their children's failures. Oh, there is such danger in the world today. There is such peer pressure. Satan is walking about seeking whom he may devour. And children are so impressionable. They're so vulnerable to their environment. A caring parent would not let a two-year-old walk along the edge of the Grand Canyon, would he? Or rush into the raging surf. I remember back in 1978 when my family and I first came to Wilmington and we went out to visit Wrightsville Beach, our first visit there, and I think it was the first time that my boys had ever seen the ocean. And I believe it was a little soccer ball they had brought along with them, and they'd been playing with that little soccer ball, and I believe it was Gary kicked that little ball out into the surf. And lo and behold, as soon as that thing went into the surf, Gary went in after it. He's five, just graduated kindergarten, almost 6 years old, I guess, but between five and six. And there he was, rushing madly into that surf after that ball. Well, the first wave went completely over him. But before the second could get to him, I had already ran into the surf, clothes on and everything, you know, and pulled him up out of the surf. Had I not been there and snatched him out of that pounding surf, possibly that little 5-6-year-old boy would have drowned. We care for our children, don't we? There are dangers in this world to the soul of your child that are far worse than playing on a cliff or running into the surf. One danger that I constantly see is the danger of avoiding the house of God. Oh, the high cost of not loving the church. I wish you could go with me where I go and sit with me where I sit and hear the stories that I hear. I wish I could take you on a journey this morning. I don't have the time for it, but there are so many stories I could tell of parents who left the church and lost their children. Time and time in counseling with parents whose children have gone astray and gone into deep sin, I've been told of children who have been reared in an environment where the house of God was made to appear unimportant. I've said it before and I'll say it again this morning. This generation of make-believers will create the next generation of unbelievers. If God is not real to you, your child is going to know it. You cannot hide it from your children. Today I want to talk about the importance of the church in our lives. I hope you will listen carefully and I hope the service will be life-changing for many of you. There are some things we can do to help our children come to God and live godly, holy lives in the world. Lives that will bring joy and happiness, not sorrow and despair. First of all, as we think about the house of God, let me challenge you to lift it up. We find this truth in Psalms 84 and verse 1. How amiable, the psalmist said, are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. Well, the tabernacle is the residence or the dwelling place or the habitation of God. You know, Jesus said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there will I be in the midst of them. How amiable. Amiable is the Hebrew word yazid, and it means how greatly loved. How greatly loved are thy tabernacles, O Lord, thy places of worship. When you use that word amiable, it's the same connotation with having the same qualities of a close friend. It's the very opposite of being unfriendly or standoffish. The psalmist is saying, oh, how I love thy tabernacles. And so, let me encourage you again this morning. Brag on the church. Amen. Praise your church. It is loved of God. Jesus did say, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Praise the house of God. Praise the church of God. In Psalms 23, correction, 34, verses 2 and 3, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. That's what we've been doing this morning, isn't it? As we sing the hymns of Zion, as the choir sing, and these children sang, the specials was sung, and through the music and the ministry of singing, we have exalted his name together. In Psalms 96, verses 8 and 9, give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering. And that makes some people mad right there, doesn't it? But the psalmist said, bring an offering and come into his courts. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Psalms 100, a classic scripture. It says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Come before his presence with singing. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know you that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We're his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endureth to all generations. Amen. God is good. Luke 4 and verse 16, the New Testament tells us that Jesus came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as his custom was. What's the custom? That's the thing you do habitually. You do it on regular fashion. It's more than Christmas and Easter. Amen. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. Everyone needs to be a part of systematic worship and Bible teaching and preaching and study. Even Jesus obeyed that fourth command to remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Amen. And this is one of the ways that we do that, by worshiping the Lord. It's imperative that we praise the church if we would lead our children to believe the gospel and be saved and become the worshipers of God. Now, I realize there are no perfect churches. Reason being, there are no perfect people. And if you tell me that you're perfect, I'm going to have a question mark about you. We're sinners saved by grace who are striving to be what Christ wants us to be, failing at times, but wanting with all of our heart to be like him who died for us. Children learning to walk. You and I have tried, and sometimes we've slipped and we've fallen. I'm glad the Lord's been there to pick us up and be patient with us. Set us back on our feet and help us to keep going. And so though we make mistakes sometimes, and though we're not as earnest as we know we need to be sometimes, Paul wrote to the Philippians in chapter 4 and verse 8 and said, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." Amen. And I trust that you find those things here at Fellowship. And I hope if you find those things that you will dwell on those things. And if somebody slips up, if somebody says something they shouldn't say or does something they shouldn't do, I'm hoping that you won't dwell on that. Amen. But that you will think on the good things and bring it before the Lord. Amen. Let God deal with problems that only God can deal with. Amen. Our part is to lift up the church and to pray for one another and to honor the Lord. If the church is to have the place God wants it to have in all of our lives, lift it up. Magnify the church before your children and before your friends and neighbors. Lift it up. Number two, love it. Verse 2 says, "My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God." Amen. Have you ever missed church so bad until you're at a point of fainting? I mean, just that hunger and that thirst to hear from God, to know God, to be a part of a worship where you could sense the presence of the Lord. Oh, we ought to love the church. Amen. Ought to love the Lord. And you know, this psalmist, when he's talking about his soul longing and even fainting for the courts of the Lord, he's not just acting religious right there. No, it's something that's deep within him that is meaningful to him. It's on his mind all the time. He thinks about it on the job, driving his car down the road, or in this case, his donkey. Whether he's at home or out in the woods or in the garden or wherever he may be, he's thinking about the Lord. He may take his family by the church house and go in and pray. He may pick up paper by the street, clean the sidewalks, or do all kinds of things around the church just because he just likes to hang out. Amen. Around the house of God. Amen. Brother Howard Skipper died at the age of 92. He's weakened by a stroke. And I remember the last time I went to see him, there in his home, and been some time since he'd been able to go to church. And last thing he said to me was, "Preacher, I sure hope I can come to church again." Brother Lloyd Stevenson, before he died, he said, "Pastor, joining Fellowship Baptist Church is the best thing I ever did." Hallelujah. You see, when you're loving the church, you're putting pictures in your children's minds. "The thoughts of the physical church has made my days sweet, has refreshed me," the psalmist is saying. I love the church today. Do you love the church? Several things about the church I love. Several things connected to the church. First of all is God. We wouldn't be here were it not for Him. Amen? I love God. I love His presence that I find here. I love His word that is preached here. I love His work that goes on here. I love His servants that embrace one another and pray for one another here. I love his people. I love his preaching and his prayer meetings and his praise and his testimonies. I love his Sunday school. I love to give. I love the children. Didn't you love this little choir a while ago? Amen. I love the teenagers. I love the parents. I love the grandparents. I love Monday at the church and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday and Sunday. I love every day at the church. God is good. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. So love it. If it's a church that's remaining true to the Word of God, and a church where you can sense the presence of the Lord Jesus in the midst, love it. Lift it up in your life. And then number three, live it. In verse 3, yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Stay at the altar. Make the altar your friend. I've seen people come in, and before the service ever start, they'd come and kneel around an altar to pray. During service times and other times and special days, come and pray with your children around these altars. Live a dedicated life before those kids. Some children have never seen dad or mom or a grandparent at an altar of God. Some children grow up and never hear mom or dad pray or give a testimony for Jesus. Oh, your children know if your faith is real. They know if you have a real relationship with God or if you're just a phony baloney kind of Christian. I didn't say pony, I said phony. Psalms 122 in verse 1, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And so live it. Let it be evident that you love the church. Live at the altar. An altar has altered many a soul. An altar has altered many a destiny. Amen. Then number 4, link it. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will still be still praising thee. In other words, through the good times and the bad times, through the dry times and through the wet times, stick it out. A link is a place where things are joined together. The right message will come. The right song will come. The right encouragement will come. If you'll just abide in God's house and keep your attention directed to Him. Live at the church. Link it to every aspect of your life. Connect with God on every issue of life and unite with Him and His purpose and His plan for you. Some want to disconnect with God in the most important time of their lives. I've had people tell me, preacher, I lost my kids. I quit church at the most crucial time in their young lives when they were so impressionable and when there was such peer pressure. I took them away from church. And now they're gone. I talked to a family last week. Daughter been in prison and now, I mean, she's had a baby now out of wedlock and not wanting to marry the father and wanting to marry some guy she met in prison, and on we can go. My heart is heavy this morning. I'm telling you, I can tell you some stories. Yeah. Don't disconnect with God. Make a tremendous effort to stay in church and to lead your children to stay in church. They won't stay if you don't. Amen. Don't disconnect. Don't break that link, that tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. Don't break that link. Don't break that tie. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee. Still later on in life, they will be praising God. Number 5, verses 5 through 7. Blessed is a man whose strength is in thee, and whose heart are the ways of them who, passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before the Lord. Jesus said in Matthew 5:14, you're the light of the world. In 16, he said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. Amen. Glorify your Father which is in heaven. This person who dwells in the house of the Lord is going to have strength from God, and he's going to be able to be a victor in his life and not a victim. He is going to have oil in his lamp, and he's going to be shining when Jesus breaks the eastern skies and comes again. He's going to be at his post. He's going to be watching. He's going to be ready. So many have said, Pastor, I just feel better after I've come to church. Isn't it the truth? I mean, come to the house of God to hear the singing and to feel the touch of God, to experience the preaching and the fellowship of God's people. God strengthens those whose hearts long for the courts of the Lord. Broken lives are mended here. Baca is the Hebrew word baka, and it means weeping. The psalmist is saying, there's a place I can go that changes the valley of weeping into a refreshing well. Did you know it's passing? He said it's passing through the valley of weeping. God does not want us to stay in that valley. This is a place where burdens are lifted. This is a place where God gives hope. This is a place where the weak become strong, where a valley of tears are turned into a refreshing well. The church is a place where miracles are wrought, where lives are changed, where you can limp in, carrying your heavy burdens and in tears, and yet you can leap out with joy. Amen? I've walked in with burdens so heavy I didn't feel like I could make it to the pulpit. Then I've walked out wondering where the burdens were. Amen. The house of God will light up your path so that you can lighten others. The house of God is an oasis in the desert where you will find refreshment and strength and joy and delight. There are places all over this town where you can leap in and limp out. But if you can limp into the house of God, you can leap out and go on your way rejoicing. Amen. Yes, there are valleys. There are tears and deaths and wheelchairs and walkers and strokes and heart attacks. But in the house of God, you'll find strength to go on. Amen. Your darkest hour may be turned into your brightest hour. There is hope. There is happiness. There's help. In the name of the Lord. And when you pass through the valley of weeping, you'll leave a well. Amen. A well by your testimony, by your example, by your having been taught of God and finding strength from God. You're going to be a well out of your belly. Jesus said, shall flow rivers of living water. And you'll be a well that will be an encouragement and a strength to someone else. And so, leave a well in that wilderness you're going through. And then, in verse number 10, for a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. You know, I envy the sparrows and the swallows, the psalmist is saying. They don't even have to leave after church service. They just hang around the church. He said, I wish I could make my nest there and just raise my young right there in the house of the Lord. all over this town today. There are parents who sent their children to church instead of taking them. All over this town today, there are people sitting home watching the television, drinking their coffee, reading the paper. What needs to happen is they should be leading by their example in the things of God. Oh, how many throughout this town can say, a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Did you know this? I know several people who over the years have talked to me about how faithful they were at their public job. How many years they went to a public job, never missed a day at work. But when it comes to church, you can't find them with radar. What kind of Christianity is that? Huh? I'm telling you the truth this morning. The psalmist said, I'd rather spend one day in the court of the Lord than 1,000 everywhere else. Amen? Oh, listen. It's an awful sin not to go to God's house. He said, my soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. You say, I can't stay awake, preacher. Okay, just come on up in here and join Brother Billy Cottle over here and sleep. If you can't sleep sitting up, get you one of them blankets back there and come up here on the front seat and lay down. I might get preaching a big way and slobber on you a little bit once in a while, but that'll be all right. It's as long as you don't get to snoring louder than I'm preaching. Oh, listen. Homes are mended here. Lives are mended. Hearts are mended. Souls are saved. God has a way of taking care of his children. Ways that will surprise you if you'll just give him your heart. When you don't go to church, you know what you're saying? You're saying there's something more important to me than God's house. You're saying the pastor's sermons are unimportant. You're saying the church members are unimportant to me. I don't care about a one of them. You're saying the lost getting saved doesn't mean a thing to me. My testimony to my neighbors who see me not going to church is unimportant to me. It doesn't matter to me that they know I don't go to church. The missionaries being sent out from this church are unimportant. That's what you're saying. The testimony of the Christians who lived and tried to be holy and set a good example mean nothing to you. The Sunday school teachers, their lessons, the hours they spent in preparation and trying to learn and to teach the gospel and the word of God, all of that's unimportant to you. The song leaders and the songs of worship are unimportant. The little children who are looking to you for the right example, that's unimportant to you. You're saying to the martyrs of old, you're a fool for dying for this cause. You're saying to the lost, I don't care if you die and go to hell. I've got more important things to do than occupy my life with going to church. People don't go to church not concerned about getting people out of hell. They're not concerned about keeping people from going to that place where torment begins the instant you die. They're not concerned about that. I've had to bury a lot of people. I may bury some more this year. I don't know who it's going to be. But what if that person's not saved? I buried some that I believe are with the Lord today. But I have been called on to preach funerals that I had no hope at all. They were with Jesus. The only thought that came into my mind They've gone straight to hell, sure as you live. And not a thing I can do about it. But you're here today. And once again, as we've done so often, I want to call upon you to search your heart and see if you wouldn't like to give your heart to Jesus today. Won't you come? Won't you come? Give your heart to the Lord. There's so much more. I'm just going to quit. There's so many other things I could tell you to think about today. If there weren't in the church, there'd be no preaching of the Word of God. No Sunday school, no prayer meetings, no Christian homes, no missionaries on foreign fields, no body of Christ in the world, no teaching of the commandments of God, no training ourselves for the ministry, no courses for the youth of our land, no family altar, no preachers and faithful church members to visit the sick and the sad and the lonely. No moral training and guidance for our boys and girls. No love for the lost sinner. Many of our hospitals and universities and orphanages would not even be in existence. You've come into the presence of the Lord today because you've come into an area where there's more than two or three who have gathered together in His name. You've come into the presence of the Lord. And I hope He'll own the service today and cause conviction to reign in some person's heart. You can come to this altar when the invitation given in just a moment. Ask Jesus to save you, and He will. It'll be a life-changing experience for you. If it's forgiveness you are seeking, He's faithful and just to forgive us all our trespasses. Amen. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You may be seeking healing. Won't you come and ask Him to touch you and it be His will to heal you? If it's salvation you need, why don't you come and pray a simple prayer asking God to forgive your sins and asking Jesus Christ to come into your heart and save your soul. If you're ready to turn from your sin to the Savior, He's ready to save you. Will you come? Will you come? Do you love the church? Do you love God's program? I hope you do. I hope if you came in not really wondering or not really knowing how you felt about the church, I hope the church of the Lord Jesus Christ will be precious to you today. Amen. When you leave.